You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNADS.com.
This is All Things Therapy, where we are changing consciousness one conversation at a time. And I'm Lisa Tahir, your host.
Hello there. Welcome to All Things Therapy podcast. It is Lisa Tahir. I am your host. I'm delighted to be with you today. This episode is number 391. Last week, I did a solo show sharing that it was my 8-year anniversary with you and just really giving appreciation and gratitude to each of you that has tuned in, listened, and watched over the years. Thank you so much for that. Thank you for being a place that I can speak into the depth of listening. And I encourage you, if you haven't given All Things Therapy a 5-star review and written rating, please do that. It helps so much for those of us who are podcasters. And that's a segue into my guest today. We met through podcasting. And Alicia, I'm going to bring you in the video stream. Yay. As I introduce you. Hello, welcome. Alicia, is it Matusiak?
Yes.
You host Naked Truth, a therapy podcast, along with Sophie, is it Fox, your co-host? And you, Alicia, you're really dynamic, a psychiatric nurse. You have a mental health private practice. You came to the U.S. from Poland, and you love researching and sharing topics related to spirituality, mental health, metaphysics, past lives, love, and relationships. And we're going to dive into all of that now. Welcome.
Yay. Thank you for having me. I'm honored.
I love being on your show, Naked Truth, a therapy podcast. Thank you. That's where we really connected and had a resonance. And I wanted to invite you on for you to share with our audience more about how you approach healing and help people.
Healing is such a wonderful topic. I loved your intro to the podcast and talking about changing consciousness one conversation at a time and helping all of us, humanity, change our consciousness. And I think healing, to me, that's what it is. It's changing ourselves one thought at a time. And it's a lifelong process. And healing, you know, when you're born into this body as a soul, I think that you are on a journey to heal yourself, because you wouldn't be here if you would be perfect. And so you're here to heal. And for that, you need all kinds of other people, ideas, and just being here and experiencing life. So that's healing. I think that's healing.
You know, I do too, Alicia. And I think relationships, it's in the context of relationships that people typically are wounded. That's where a lot of hurt is experienced. And because of that, it's how healing actually happens, is through the context of relationships. And sometimes people have fear around relationships because of past hurts. And it's just always been interesting to me. That's actually the doorway. And how do you see that?
Well, I remember a few of my past lives. So I actually have lots of fears surrounding relationships. And I think that is something I'm working on in my life. In my past life, I committed a suicide. Okay. Because I couldn't take the abandonment that I felt from my person I was with, lover, something like that, right? So I committed suicide. I remember that. I remembered that a few years ago.
Okay.
I try to do a lot of meditation, a lot of trying to connect to my deeper self. And And some days I have dreams and I sort of remembered that past life. And so in this life, coincidentally, I was with the lover that I was with then. He was my now ex-husband. So in this life, he was my husband that I loved so dearly. And I never imagined we would be divorced. And then about 10 years into the relationship, you know, he asked to be divorced. I never saw that coming. I was blindsided and suffered, you know, and really it's been now about 15 years from that divorce. And I still have areas where I'm still working through it's not easy sometimes. Some people are very happy when they get divorced because they just didn't click with their spouse.
Right.
I just felt like he was my soulmate, you know, and then boom, he's not with me anymore. And I never found a replacement yet. So for anybody listening, listen, I am available.
Well, Alicia, I hold you in such compassion right now for sharing that story and just I sense how deep this relationship was and the way it affected the landscape of your personal life. And secondary to that, I noticed how having this past life awareness, how do you work with past lives in the now? Because I think a lot of people wonder what to do with this awareness of a past life now.
Mm-hmm. I never remembered it for the longest time. So I always questioned, you know, why did I have to go through that? I did feel like I didn't want to live for a lot of years after the divorce because I just felt like something was taken away from me. Like my spouse passed away, but he didn't. He just said he didn't want to be with me. So it actually felt worse than having someone pass away and knowing that that person passed while still loved you and wanted to be with you. This felt like somebody just rejected me because I wasn't good enough. So remembering the past life actually helped me put things in perspective and understand why I went through that experience. So now I understand that first of all, suicide is not supposed to happen. We are not supposed to, as humans, decide to end our life. We're supposed to be here because that is a gift, even though it feels like a miserable experience sometimes, but it's still a gift. And we don't understand why we're here. We don't understand the purpose because our view is so limited as humans. We have a brain that's limited. So we cannot begin to imagine the immensity of the purpose that we're given here. So for us to just decide that based on some experience, we want to end this is, in many religions described as sin, right?
Right.
And it's just something we're not supposed to do. So I knew in this life that I'm not supposed to end my life. I just didn't feel like living anymore. But remembering the past life, I was like, oh, wait a minute. This is what I've done in my past life. I killed myself. I wasn't supposed to do it. So God sort of, or the universe, placed me again in a similar situation so that I can go through this experience and now end it differently. So I can rewrite sort of like how this is going to go. So, first of all, you're not going to not live. You're going to live. And second of all, you're going to live and you're going to find happiness in being alone and single. And and I think that's what I've been doing for the last 15 years. I don't know that I'm done. I am very, very extremely happy being by myself. However, there's a component in a relationship when you're with someone that is, a compatible match.
Yeah.
There's definitely some very wonderful things about being in a relationship. So being single and being by myself, and being able to be by myself and find joy in my life is very something I'm very proud of.
Absolutely.
But, you know, if a relationship did come my way and I felt like it was the right one, I might try to dip my feet just a little bit in that relationship and like see how it feels.
I totally see you doing that because I know you're such a curious and adventurous and loving soul. I see it as play. For you, that you would want it to feel that way to move forward.
And my Chinese horoscope says I'm I'm a monkey, right? Because I am born 1980. So I'm a monkey. So I call myself Curious Georgina. You know, I'm a curious.
I love that.
You know, just, yeah.
Well, and that leads me to ask you, I'm interested to know more about coming to the U.S. from Poland. What gave rise to that and what your experience is thus far?
So again, you know, I do believe in destiny. I believe that there are things that we do that will lead us a certain path. I believe that I was always meant to live in America. Even as a 6-7-year-old child, a little girl in Poland, back then Poland was communist. I vividly remember wanting to learn English, and English was not something that we could just learn. Mm. It was, you had to have money and you had to take special classes and pay people for that. And that was expensive. So the languages that we would study in school were primarily Russian. And okay. So the only language that I would be allowed to learn would be Russian. But I didn't want to learn Russian. I always wanted to learn English. Okay. And my, you know, in communist Poland, there was a lot of things that were not in stores. So if you can imagine stores, they're kind of empty without any merchandise. That's how it was when I was growing up. So for about, you know, until Poland became democratic, I think I was about 10 years old. And then slightly more merchandise started coming in. But for a majority, but like, of my childhood, there was not too many things in stores. So when I would see books, I always loved books. So I would like not spend my lunch money on food. I would just buy books.
Wow. Yeah.
And I would always try to buy books where I could learn English. So, so I think there's destiny, and I always was drawn to English. I dreamed about learning English. I fantasized about going to the U.S. So when I was about 15 years old, I learned from a friend that there was a study abroad slash kind of like a work program. It was called Au Pair Care. And so I didn't speak English very well at that point, but I wanted to go. It was a year program.
Yeah.
My parents had to somehow figure out money to give me to pay for it. Mm-hmm. So we took some loans. And with one little bag of clothes, hairy legs, and hairy armpits, because I just didn't know any better. I was on my way to the U.S. And
at
then,
what age? At what age?
I was just turned 19, so
oh
I didn't even.
Oh my gosh!
I didn't even I didn't even attend my graduation from high school. I just kind of like was already on the plane and
amazing.
Leaving. So, yeah.
And what happened when you
got
here?
I arrived here in New York,
okay.
And it was extremely hot. It was, I believe, June. And I remember I've never experienced heat like that in Poland. So it was that sweaty, kind of humid feeling of like, wow, like, where am I? And there was like crowds, like people were like next to me. And there were black people in America, and coming from Poland, I was like, oh shit. Like, I don't know, like what's going on? Like it was like a country girl going into a big city, and like everything was like, wow. Like there's just like, there's Asian people. There's like this kinds of people. There's that kind of person. Everything was new. Everything was just the smells and it was overwhelming. It was just
an overwhelming
experience. Yeah. So and I was a hairy, you know, girl, white girl that's like, just like overwhelmed by everything.
Did you speak enough English to
a little
to make
bit,
sure what?
You know,
how
people,
did you even navigate that?
People made fun of me because, because they said, I spoke enough English to get myself in trouble, but not enough to get myself out of trouble.
No. So, and did you have a family that you were coming to be an au pair for?
Yes. So that was like a brief conversation, you know, on the phone, and they lived in Columbus, Ohio. So the first training that we had to do as a group was to learn CPR and other things was in New York. We stayed here we stayed in New York for about a week. Or a week and a half, and then we were shipped to other places in the U.S. So so the family that I was going to was in Columbus, and that's where I still am.
It is. You know, you have such courage. I could not imagine being that young in a brand new country, not speaking the language, to live and work. OMG.
OMG. And let me tell you, one of my friends in Poland made a prank phone call about a week before I left. And he made a prank phone call to my house and he started speaking English. So I didn't recognize, I guess, his voice, or I don't know. But he said that I was being set up and I was going to be sent as a prostitute to a camp. And for like a minute, my heart was just like, oh, my God, like, what is this? And then I was like, oh, it's, you know, nothing. It's my friend trying to be funny, which was not funny.
But it's not funny.
Because in Europe, that's, you know, as a young person, that was always something that would, that was a potential risk. A lot of ads in the papers and internet are geared towards luring young women and then putting them in, unfortunately, you know, as a sex worker, essentially, some kind of a place, take away your passport. And so it was a little scary, but fortunately, none of that happened to me. And I thank you, God, for that.
Amen. How did you, as you, your life moved along to become a psychiatric nurse and now a podcaster, and how did that all form and come about in your life?
So everything came about because of Sophie. She was just put in my path.
And Sophie's amazing. I wish you were on camera with us.
I know. Come over here for a second. She just doesn't want to do that.
I met Sophie from when I did your both of your podcasts.
She's a singer, and she is wonderful, just a wonderful person all around. So about, I think, 2 years ago, she I think she kind of heard about me somewhere, and she came up to me and said, listen, I think you should be doing a podcast. And I said, listen, I was thinking about all kinds of things, but I don't know how to do them. I mean, it's like headphones, like technology, wires, like,
So she said, good with that.
She said, I know all about that. Yes. All you have to do is sit down and talk. I was like, I can do that. I can do that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's how you all came up with
the
podcast?
That's how we came up. And then we tried to come up with the name. And I said, well, nudity always draws attention. So as long as we will promise people that at what point we are going to get naked on this podcast, then it's going to draw attention. So we will probably never get naked, but we can try.
But symbolically, naked truth, really speaking authentically.
Yes.
And like bearing, really bearing our souls to each other.
It's probably, you know, mostly because I can't keep my mouth shut. I just say whatever just comes. And it's probably a little bit of ADD or some kind of naked truth dyslexia, if there's a thing like that. So I just unfortunately blurt a lot of stuff out and some people get offended. I might be a female Trump or something. I don't know. I don't know what I am. I'm still trying to figure it out.
I don't sense that offensive energy in you at all. I sense real authenticity, honesty, and directness.
Yeah.
You also help people in business. Can you talk to us about that? Like tips for starting a business? I know that's another area that you really have some strengths in.
So with our podcast, we truly try to bring in a lot of mental health professionals and people that do life coaching and work in this industry of health and wellness. Yeah. And we try to help them promote their businesses and share the word about what they do, because patients and customers have a hard time finding people that will match with them and use the correct, almost therapy approach. So we try to help people promote their businesses by interviewing them on our podcast. But we also have, you know, so I also am founder for Holistic Wellness Solutions. So that is a mental health practice where we serve people with mental health challenges by using medications to treat them. So we have nurse practitioners, and we also have counselors. And then we also have a lot of students, nurse practitioners that need clinicals and clinical hours. So we do bring a lot of people together. We're also starting a coffee shop. Hopefully that's going to happen soon.
Yeah.
And for right now, all we have is a promise of a coffee machine that's going to be splendid and supposed to be delivered in about 2 months. And we also have a humongous bear, about 80 inches tall. and big. So if somebody lives in Columbus, come on over and take a photo with it.
Where is this located in Columbus?
It's right next to our Holistic Wellness Solutions, which is 4800 Indianola Avenue, right across from the School for the Deaf. So if you are a screamer, you can also scream a lot and nobody's going to hear you in the vicinity. So
okay, that's great. That's funny.
I see I'm terrible. So
no, it's so good. So honest.
I mean, I'm equally offensive to all groups of people and all kinds of
challenges. You don't discriminate.
I don't discriminate.
Something really interesting about you that is so exciting to me is working with psilocybin, helping people to heal, especially post-traumatic stress disorder, depression, and such. Can you talk to us about that?
So this is still a fairly new industry that's coming to probably be embraced by everyone soon.
Yes.
I feel like psilocybin is this wonderful, miracle-like substance that is, it's been around forever. It's natural. It grows in the woods. You got to find the right woods.
Right.
But yeah, it's wonderful. I think that it wakes you up to your inner calling. It wakes you up to who you are. And it reminds you, I remembered who I was for a minute. It's not this person. It's the being that you are along with God. It's that unity that you have. So so we know a lot of people that do psilocybin-assisted therapy. And, if you can do it, I would recommend it. You have to go through a little bit of an assessment process and people have to find out, what you're taking as far as medications. But I think it's one of the most wonderful things that anybody could do for themselves, for their soul and their spirit.
And for my continuing education in social work, for my social work license this year, I got continuing education on the use of psychedelics in medicine legally, like you're saying, in a certified medical facility. This is not promoting just taking drugs, on your own on the street. I know YouTube especially is big about that with the videos and such that are posted, that this is medically given safely. You are safely monitored with the therapist in the context of, the clients I know that have done it for a day, and it's safely administered and a healing professional is with you. And it's been really remarkable, just the positive results. And medicine is absolutely moving in this way, to use psychedelics to treat disorders that have typically only been treated with pharmaceuticals. And these are so much more natural products. And I'm just so excited to see this emerge.
I think research is heading towards trying to create psilocybin in a scientific environment.
Right.
I honestly like the idea of the more natural version of it, just grow it and then do it in a safe manner within a therapeutic setting. Be watched. Make sure that you are not going to be doing something that you wouldn't want to be doing. So have someone to watch you, of course.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com.
Do it safe. But I really think that it's about 10 years of therapy in one day of psilocybin-assisted therapy.
Yeah, absolutely. It's remarkable.
Yes.
To help veterans and people that have just had pasts that have been traumatic. I know in New Orleans, there's one of the medical branch of this kind of technology, so to speak. And I went to a lecture at Tulane University with the psychologist and client that worked together to heal post-traumatic stress disorder using MDMA-assisted therapy, and how her life changed for the better. And therapy hadn't worked, traditional medication. This was really remarkable for her brain to actually create a new environment for itself, for her to know she's safe in her body. It really shifts the brain in wonderfully healing ways.
Absolutely. And, you know, and the beautiful thing about the medicine is that it will give you what you need. So it understands your soul to such a high degree that it will give you the experience that you need. It, and it's every person that could be doing the same medicine, same dose, every person will have a different experience because yeah. they need different experiences. So that's the most amazing thing about it.
It really is. Alicia, what would you like to leave us with? What have we not covered that you would like to share? And on a closing note.
I think just live life to the fullest. We are here for a short amount of time. Our life doesn't end here. It doesn't start here. So just remember that it's just a little part of such much greater experience. And embrace what you have. Do the best that you can with what you have. And enjoy it. And I'll see you in the next life. If I don't see you in this one, I'll see you in the next one.
That's a beautiful and loving reminder. Thank you, Alicia.
Thank you so much, Lisa. It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
It has. And to you, Sophie, in the background, I love you both. I'm excited to meet you one day in person.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. Awesome. Sophie wanted me to say, remember to find us at nakedtruthatherapypodcast.com.
And I also will tag your socials. Your website is nakedtruthatherapypodcast.com. Perfect. And that's also your Instagram and your Facebook.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Have a wonderful rest of your afternoon.
Thank you. You too. Thank you so much, Lisa.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye. That concludes my show today with the host of Naked Truth, a Therapy Podcast, Alicia Matusiak. Go find her in Sophie's podcast. Subscribe, listen. I was a guest. So many wonderful practitioners offering different ways that we see helping ourselves and each other to be happier and really live the life that we most want to live truly and authentically. I also want to share with you a product that I take to help me with my physical health and my mental health. You probably haven't heard of it. It's super unique. This is a Nobel Prize winning molecule called ESS60. And it's made by a company called MyVitalC. Out of Houston, Nobel Prize winning molecule for longevity. It has been shown to extend life by 90%. It is a molecule that is suspended in olive oil, and that's what you get. I have the olive oil ESS60. I put a measured dose, they send you a little cup, in my coffee. I like it mixed in my coffee, and I've taken it for 6 months. I feel so sharp. I feel so good. It's a very high-grade olive oil, which has benefits onto itself. But ESS60 has been shown to extend life, help our brains to stay supple, our body to help with post-exercise inflammation, reducing oxidative stress. There will be a link in the show note to check them out. You get a discount as my listener. It'll all be in the show notes, and try them out and let me know how you feel. All of my love, and I'll be with you next week. Mwah.
And that's a wrap. Thank you. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review All Things Therapy on the platform you're listening from. And let's connect on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube at NOLA Therapy, the abbreviation for New Orleans, Los Angeles Therapy, reflecting my two favorite cities. And let's keep changing consciousness, one conversation